Radio Prague News.
The Czech National Bank raises rates, a nuclear financing decision, and Jaromír Jágr confirms his Kladno match. The Czech National Bank announced Thursday it's increased its basic interest rate by 0.25 percentage points to 0.75%. The move had been widely expected, with the crown strengthening ahead of the announcement. It moved to its highest level against the euro since the so-called low crown policy was ended last year, before retreating slightly. The board already decided twice to raise interest rates by the same margin, the last decision coming at the start of November. Bank Governor Jiří Rusnok has indicated in the past that a series of gradual interest rate rises can be expected as inflation picks up in the country and economic growth remains strong. A government decision on how to fund the construction of new nuclear reactors in the country should come in April or May. That deadline was given by the head of the Lower House of Parliament's Economic Committee, Radim Fiala, on a visit to the Dukovany nuclear power plant, which continues on Thursday. The Minister of Industry and Trade Standing Committee on Nuclear Issues said earlier this week that it expected the various scenarios for funding new power plants to be prepared by the end of March, in time for its next meeting. Tax Freedom Day in the Czech Republic will fall on June the 23rd. That's the latest it's ever been, according to the calculations of consultancy company Deloitte. The calculations mean that citizens will in fact work 174 days to cover tax payments before they can start to earn for themselves. Last year, Tax Freedom Day fell one day earlier on June 22nd. Tax Freedom Day will fall earlier in Poland and Slovakia, but later in Hungary. Around 32,200 new companies were created in the Czech Republic in 2017, according to the consultancy company Bisnode. That's the highest figure since the pre-crisis year of 2007. Most of the new companies were created in Prague and South Moravia, with their main activities services, rentals, management of real estate, wholesale and accommodation. Bisnode said that the total number of companies in the country last year rose by 5.3% to stand at 475,600. And in ice hockey, Jaromír Jágr confirmed he will take the ice for the Kladno Knights on Saturday in the first division match against Benátky nad Jizerou. Jágr, who returned from Canada on Wednesday, took part in training with his new team for the first time on Thursday. He said the around 45-minute session hurt him more than expected. Jágr said he's clear to make a start for his home team club as soon as possible so he can take part in the end-of-season playoffs for promotion to the top Czech league if they get that far. Jágr, 45, returned to the Czech Republic after his stint playing for the Calgary Flames in the NHL came to an end. And a quick look at the weather. The weather on Friday will be cloudy with sunny spells, especially in the northwest of the country. Top daytime temperatures will range between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic is to open up to more foreign workers. We'll have details in a moment. Then, number 68 is back in the Czech Republic, and Jágr mania has ensued. We'll have a report from a press conference where he made his first appearance. Then in the second half of the program, we also have Hit of the Century, and then the remarkable story of Jaroslava Doležalová, an honorary citizen of Žďár nad Sázavou. So stay tuned for that as well. The Czech Republic will open up to more foreign workers in the coming months. Amidst mounting pressure from companies, the Czech Foreign Ministry has announced it will increase its capacities in order to handle more applications for work permits annually. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The country's stable economic growth and low unemployment, which dropped to 2.4% in December, has left many countries short-staffed and desperately seeking manpower in order to be able to meet demand. Many are increasingly dependent on foreign workers, and the work permits issued to foreign nationals under a long-term controlled migration plan are proving woefully inadequate. In order to meet growing demand, some companies have started recruiting foreign workers themselves, using various means to do so, setting up recruitment offices abroad, holding recruitment days in selected countries, and Skyping with potential candidates. Even so, when they are successful, visas and work permits often present a problem and take excessively long, with companies often waiting a year and longer for a potential employee. According to the Czech Chamber of Commerce, which has long criticized the situation, the processing of a Ukrainian application for a job in the Czech Republic takes 7 months on average. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has long pushed for the country to open up to foreign workers faster in order to allow companies to fulfill their potential. Foreign Minister Martin Stropnický from Babiš's Ano party announced on Wednesday that the ministry would increase its capacities in order to process work applications faster and get more foreign workers into the country. The ministry aims to be able to handle up to 20,000 applications from Ukrainian workers who make up the backbone of the Czech construction industry a year, which is double the current number. More manpower should also come from Mongolia and the Philippines, where similar measures will take effect, and the foreign ministry is also examining programs for Serbia and Belarus. The quota for manpower for the Czech agricultural sector is to rise from the current 572 people to 1,500 workers annually, Stropnický said. He rejected reservations voiced by trade unions, who fear that an influx of foreign workers would inevitably present a threat in the form of cheap labour, saying that these foreign workers would be paid the usual salaries. This matter has been discussed by government representatives and employers, the foreign minister said. The widening of consular services is expected to cost around 50 million crowns a year, and the ministry is considering raising the fee for applications.
That was Daniela Lazarova reporting. Jaromír Jágr has made his first public appearance since news of his return to his hometown club Kladno, sparking a wave of Jágr mania in the Czech Republic. Speaking to a scrum of journalists on Thursday, the hockey superstar discussed where things had gone wrong for him in the NHL this season and said he would do his best to satisfy Kladno's supporters. Ian Willoughby reports.
Looking relaxed, Jaromír Jágr spoke to reporters for well over an hour, following a light training session at Kladno Stadium on Thursday morning. The Czech hockey world has been in a state of excitement since it was announced that Calgary Flames were letting the forward go and that he was returning to his hometown club, which he also owns. Jágr said lengthy contract negotiations with Calgary had meant he wasn't ready for the tempo of the NHL, so he changed his training with serious consequences.
I started doing things my body wasn't perhaps used to, and thanks to that I got injured in my third or fourth game. I had groin problems, which I'd experienced before. But then, out of nothing, in I think the 12th game, my knee swelled up. That was new to me, and I didn't know how to proceed. The uncertainty was maybe worse than anything else. I thought if I stopped training, that would help, but it got worse. And things ended up the way they did.
Jágr repeatedly referred to himself as being 46 years old, even though that birthday is still a few weeks away. And he offered this perspective on longevity.
Láska, jak já ji vidím, je nejsilnější druh energie, která existuje tady na tom světě.
As I conceive of it, love is the greatest kind of energy in the world. If you put love into anything, it lasts for a long time and you enjoy what you're doing. I've always loved hockey and I've never had a problem sacrificing anything for it. But naturally, your body is another matter. How you react to changes in the style of hockey. You have to constantly exercise, train, and regenerate to the max. That's the only way to prevent injury. I believe that if you do get injured, you're 50% responsible yourself.
Jágr said if Kladno's season ends early, he'll join Extraliga side Třinec. In the meantime, he plans to make his first appearance for Kladno in a second flight clash with Benátky nad Jizero on Saturday. And while fans are extremely excited, the living legend said he hopes they have realistic expectations given his age.
I've always played hockey in such a way that gives them an experience they'll remember for their whole lives. On the other hand, they understand that things won't be the same as they were before, but my nature is such that I will do my best to give the most that I can. And that was the great Jaromír Jágr there today, or this Thursday, at a press conference shortly after his first skate with the Kladno Knights, his first practice, of course. Many people excited that he's back in the Czech Republic. Other people in the NHL or fans of the NHL perhaps disappointed he's no longer there. Maybe one more team could have given him a half-season shot, but that's the way it is now. If you want to comment, if you have any questions, please write to english@radio.cz. Now, Jaroslava Doležalová has become an honorary citizen of her hometown, Žďár nad Sázavou. She hid a little Jewish girl during World War II and probably saved her life, risking her own and her husband's in the process. Hardly anyone knew about it for a very long time, and it's only been brought to public attention now, more than 7 decades later. So Mrs. Doležalová, in the 93rd year of her life, received well-deserved, even if long-delayed, accolades and praise. But her story also reveals something less praiseworthy about the Czech attitude towards women. Vít Pohanka has this special.
The clock tower of the old town hall in Žďár nad Sázavou marks every full hour with a different melody. Since World War II, this historic building has been used only for ceremonial purposes, and for decades, Jaroslava Doležalová was coming here nearly every weekend, charged by the town council to officially welcome new citizens.
To bych nemohla vyčíslit nebo spočítat, co času já jsem věnovala městu.
I couldn't tell you how much time I have devoted to this town. I was the chairperson of the Citizens Affairs Committee and I officiated baby welcoming ceremonies. I remember that once a lady spoke to me at one such ceremony. She said she was the grandmother of a little girl that I had just welcomed among the town's new citizens. And she showed me an old photo of me and another baby. That was taken when you welcomed my daughter, who is here today as a mother, the lady said. So I realized how I had welcomed 2 generations in her family.
No, tak si to představte.
Recently, Mrs. Doležalová celebrated her 93rd birthday. And it was only last year that not only the town of Žďár, but the whole country learned that she is in fact a hero. Jaroslava Doležalová and I are browsing through photographs of a Jarmila Vilhelmová, first a little girl, later a good-looking woman. When little Jarmila, or Jarmilka, was only 5 at the end of the World War II, Mrs. Doležalová hid her for 2 months in her house. Because Jarmilka was half-Jewish, her mother had already disappeared in Nazi concentration camps, and there was imminent danger that the daughter would follow. Mrs. Doležalová arranged false documents for the girl and spent days walking with her in the deep forests around the town. If a German search party arrived in the middle of the night, the cover story was that little Jarmilka was just visiting. And search parties were frequent, because there was a small German garrison in a nearby chateau, and the soldiers even regularly ate in a restaurant owned by Mrs. Doležalová's family, in a building literally stone's throw away from the house where the Jewish girl was hiding.
Já jsem se nebála, já nevím proč. Nebála jsem se. 30 jich bylo v zámečku policajtů, my jsme jim varili.
I was not afraid, not at all. I don't know why, I just wasn't. Yes, there were some 30 German military police in the chateau, and we even cooked for them. They came to our restaurant every day for lunch. They used to take their dinners with them because by then it was 1944 and they were scared of the anti-Nazi partisans who had become increasingly self-confident and aggressive. So the Germans would take their evening meals to the chateau.
A večeře si vozili, protože se báli partizánů už, víte? Ty si vozili do toho zámečku.
Everything turned out well. The Nazi authorities never discovered Jarmilka, and she was able to rejoin her father, survived the war, and later emigrated to what was then West Germany. Mrs. Doležalová considered what she had done as a common act of human compassion and decency. She never boasted about it or even talked about it. When did anybody ask you about that for the first time?
I don't remember anyone asking me about it. Nobody knew.
So this whole amazing story became public only in 2016, when 2 citizens of the town learned about it and alerted the mayor's office. The Jewish community took up the story, as did the Czech National Public Television.
Hrozil jí koncentrační tábor i trest smrti, přesto neváhala a za druhé světové války se stala zachránkyní židovské dívky.
Mrs. Doležalová was officially thanked by the state of Israel. Now, in early 2018, Mrs. Doležalová received honorary citizenship of the town that she had served as a humble lower official for decades.
Vy jste schovala moje maminku, když bylo 5 let a vám bylo 19.
Unfortunately, Jarmila passed away some time ago. So it was her daughter, Astrid Herbison, now a teacher and a mother herself, living in German Munich, who attended the ceremony. She spoke very movingly about the victory of life over death, courage over fear. Astrid herself learned about Mrs. Doležalová only when the Czech media contacted her in 2017.
So basically it's something incredible because my mom never talked about it. She said that she was hidden in a part of her family, like the non-Jewish part of the family, with her smaller brother. So this was something very surprising when my cousin called me in May to ask me if the Czech television could come to interview me because they were making a program. And then the program was almost finished. They just called me and asked some questions.
She saw this as just a normal thing to do, and she didn't make a big story about her wonderful act of humanity.
Underlines the Israeli ambassador to Prague, Daniel Meron, who came to Žďár nad Sázavou to show the gratitude of his country.
We have a Jewish proverb, the person who saves one life is like the person who saves the whole world. And for Astrid and for her mother, it was the whole world. And it is something that we should never forget, even in the times of darkness, to look for the light, to look for the good people, to remember humanity, and always to think about the other.
So there are very sincere and moving thanks and official recognition for Mrs. Doležalová. All's well that ends well. But then I came across something that completely changed my perspective of this moving story. As I was going through the list of other honorary citizens, something caught my eye. Mrs. Doležalová is the first woman ever to be awarded this recognition in a town of some 20,000 inhabitants. I thought it was some local anomaly, but to be sure, I checked the websites of other Czech cities and towns, and I was literally stunned by the reality. Honorary citizenship seems to be almost exclusively a male domain. In a nearby Jihlava, for example, the male-female ratio is 85-1. In Pardubice, in eastern Bohemia, out of 52 honorary citizens, only 2 are women. After 1990, Brno, the second most populous city in Czechia, awarded this honor to 34 men and 1 woman. Obviously, you get the same picture across the country. Now, you don't have to be an activist battling for women's rights and gender equality to see that something is seriously wrong. To get a truly balanced and in-depth opinion, I went to Prague to see sociologist, journalist and writer Jiřina Šiklová. Because when it comes to assessing the situation of Czech women, she is a genuine legend. As a dissident, she spent time in communist prisons. When democracy came, in the beginning of the 1990s, she had a lion's share in opening gender studies at Prague Charles University. But do not expect some fiery condemnation of how subjugated women in the Czech society are. Jiřina Šiklová offers a wise long-term view.
Tak za prvé, nezapomeňte, že ženy vstoupily do...
First of all, don't forget that women entered public life and politics only in the last few decades. It would be very hard to find a female mayor before World War II. It was not customary for women to be in such visible positions. Remember that they only started going out to work in the first half of the 20th century. My mother, incidentally, was one of the first women who got a high or secondary school diploma in Prague, and she was born in 1902. So, relatively speaking, it's not such a long time ago. What's more, it went without saying that when a woman had children, she would leave whatever employment she had and stay at home. It would even have been considered immoral for her to continue working, simply because there were virtually no preschool care institutions for children. So it was only women who were very poor who would leave children at home and go to work, or on the contrary, women who were wealthy enough to pay for some sort of private care.
Zaplatit k těmto dětem nějakou péči.
In other words, it takes a long time to truly change attitudes in any society, and the Czech one is not an exception. Even though women actually are much more active and visible in local politics than they are on the national scene.
No, určitě, protože žena považuje tedy tu svoji obec, kde žije.
Certainly, because a woman considers her village, town or city an extension of her own home. That is why women much more often engage in looking for solutions to local community issues. And that is also the reason why we now see so many women as deputies in local councils, activists, or say heads of local libraries. By the way, I keep saying that if this nation is to survive, it will manage to do so only thanks to the women leading local libraries, but also Protestant parsonages, because these are the surviving centres and sources of truly local culture.
But at least for now, it does look like this kind of community work is simply overlooked. One just has to wonder how many other women like Mrs. Doležalová were simply never recognised. So has the life of women in the Czech society changed for the better at all with the return to democracy some 27 years ago?
Je těžké použít slovo zhoršilo nebo zlepšilo.
It is hard to say whether it improved or, on the contrary, got worse. What are your criteria? This society as a whole is doing substantially better than it did even 20 years ago. And this general prosperity is certainly reflected in the quality of women's lives. But when you compare their relative social standing, it's a whole different story. For example, there are much fewer businesswomen than businessmen. Women are practically not at all represented in the uppermost social strata of really wealthy Czechs. They are there only as partners or wives of the super rich. So you could even say that the society is actually returning to the old model of pre-war society. A wealthy man can get himself a very beautiful, even if completely stupid, ornamental wife.
Chuckles legendary Czech sociologist Jiřina Šiklová. Back in Žďár nad Sázavou, Mrs. Jaroslava Doležalová is definitely pleased by the fact that she is the historically first woman ever to become an honorary citizen in her town.
Já fandím ženám ve všech funkcích.
I root for all the women who make it and hold high positions, like that Angela Merkel, who has been chancellor in Germany for so long, or the Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir. She was a real star.
Says Mrs. Jaroslava Doležalová, a very brave woman who in her own, very inconspicuous way, managed to break through the proverbial glass ceiling.
That was reporter Vít Bohanka. They're reporting in that special. We hope you've enjoyed it. Again, if you want to comment, english@radio.cz is the address to write to. Also, you can look us up online, of course, radio.cz/en, or, of course, on Facebook or Twitter. Now, though, it's time for our series in which we're slowly but surely introducing you to 100 songs that went down in the history of Czechoslovakia as well as the Czech Republic. You can even vote in this big poll of 100 hits of the Republic and pick the greatest hit. Today, we're continuing with the year 1936. Hit of the century.
The most successful composers of operetta during the First Republic were a sort of triumvirate: Jara Beneš, Jaroslav Jankovec, and the youngest Josef Stelipský. As it was with other composers, Stelipský's well-known melodies were not allowed to be heard for many years. This was because after February of 1948, when the Communist Party came to power, Josef Stelipský left his homeland and emigrated in good faith. He was not successful outside Czechoslovakia and eventually died abroad. His death was probably caused by a hopeless yearning for his homeland. Stelipský was acknowledged as the master of romantic tangos. He wrote a countless number of them. We have decided to introduce a tango from Stelipský's first operetta, Stretch Out Your Hand to Happiness, from 1936. It is a celebration of the beauty of our capital city, Prague. In this melody, Stelivski can't deny the genuine love he has for what he's singing about. His tango, Evening Above Prague, was also played by Josef Zima and Alena Rychetska, along with the Slava Kunstband. It is clear that Josef Stelivski had a lot to remember in addition to Prague after he emigrated. So have a listen to his reminiscences, Evening Above Prague, sung by Zima and Rychetska.
Vůně květů vane stvých retů, nad námi hvězda letí z modravých světů. Tu hvězdu znám, vím, že pán Bůh sám po ní tu nejsvětější lásku poslal k nám. Když je večer nad Prahou, hvězdičky zaplanou, jen Vltava se třpití a svítí mi tmou. Do ticha vyzvání, večerní klekání, šeptám ti znova, nejhezčí slova, nejsladší vyznání. Než nocí vlahou, nad spící Prahou, nadejde svítání. Byl by to hřích, kdybych se tvých neslíbal lásku, která září do sníh. Až nám jednou hvězdičky zblednou, vzpomínky nejsvětější nám však zůstanou. Když večer nad Prahou hvězdičky zaplanou, jen Vltava se třpití a svítí mi tmou. Do ticha vyzvání, večerní klekání, šeptám ti znova, nejhezčí slova, nejsladší vyznání. Než nocí vlahou, nad spící Prahou, nadejde svítání.
That was our very own Daniela Lazarová with Hit of the Century. And we hope you've been following that poll and been enjoying all these songs, these great hits from the past. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's just about it from us for today, though. A quick reminder, no more quick reminders. Just tune in again tomorrow. Bye-bye.